Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 92 of Generation GC, the story of my old man from Good Charlotte's second album, The Young and the Hopeless, released in 2002 with Jay Churchill. My name is Molly Huddleston, once again, and as always, I am your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. Last time, we talked about Thank You Mom from Good Charlotte. On our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from The Chronicles of Life and Death. Jay Churchill is 23 years old and lives in Sydney, Australia. He works at a bottle shop or liquor store and plays drums pretty much every day. When he was younger, Jay liked to emulate both twins. He would emulate Benji Madden by wearing black eyeliner under his eyes, and he even got a mohawk just like Joel's. And you are going to get to hear the story of that mohawk on the show today. It's a fun one. Jay is also the first Generation GC guest located in Australia, although, of course, he is not our first Australian guest. That honor goes to Shannon Carlton, who talked about We Believe back in 2020. I also want to say that I love having guests from all around the world and from all different backgrounds on Generation GC. It's my goal for everyone listening to the show to feel like they are represented on this show, like there's someone on this show that understands them, relates to them. So if you're listening and you want to come on the show, let me know. If English isn't your first language, that's okay. As long as you're comfortable holding a conversation in English, you're good to go. And different backgrounds doesn't just mean location or ethnicity. That means ensuring a varied gender and sexuality representation and representing fans of different ages and fans with their own unique life experiences of any sort. So yeah, if you want to come on the show, reach out. I'd love to have you. I'd love to help you tell your Good Charlotte story. Finally, Generation GC stickers are here. If you want a sticker, all you gotta do is go to anchor.fm/generationgcpod and click support. All that money goes right back into making the show the best that it can be. It helps me print and ship the stickers. It also helps me buy any equipment, software, anything that I need to help keep the show going. You are then going to take a screenshot of your support of the show, send me your mailing address. You can reach out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at GenerationGCPod, P-O-D, or send me an email, GenerationGCPod@gmail.com. And I will send you stickers. Pretty cool, right? Thank you for tuning in. We are now on to episode 92.
So today we are talking about The Story of My Old Man. This one is track 5 on The Young and the Hopeless, Good Charlotte's second album released in 2002. I also had the realization, I think this is like our third to last episode on The Young and the Hopeless, which is crazy because this is such an iconic album. Track 4 is Wondering. Track 6 is Girls and Boys. Story of My Old Man was not a single, but it has been played live a ton of times, like so many times. Setlist.fm has it ranked number 12 of Good Charlotte's most popular songs. They have 144 records of it being played, although I kind of feel like it's more than that. I mean, post-hiatus, it's been in like every set they've played, every headlining set. Pre-hiatus, they played it pretty commonly too, right? It was pretty frequent. And I'm not surprised by that, right? Like, this is a serious song, but it's so high energy. The beat gets people moving. Like, I feel like this is the kind of song people come to Good Charlotte shows to hear, songs like this, something that's high energy, but something that like has something to say. And we have a whole lot to say about this song, but Jay, first I want to help our guests get to know you. And the first question I like to ask everyone is, when did you first hear Good Charlotte and what were your first thoughts on them?
Okay. Firstly, when did I first hear them? To be honest, I got an older brother and sister who were like the prime age of teenage Good Charlotte fans when they were putting out their first album.
Yeah, because you're what, like early mid-20s, so you would have been pretty young, like when
I'm only 23. So I think, yeah, I've got a sister who's in her mid-30s and my brother who is about 3 years older than me, and really I really just grew up listening to Good Charlotte and Simple Plan and Avril Lavigne and Sum 41. So I still got like a few burn CDs with like just playlists of all those good bands from back in the day. So that's how it is.
That's awesome. So I love that your older siblings kind of got you into, I mean, Good Charlotte, but it sounds like a whole lot of pop punk in general. Were your parents into this? Like, what did your parents think of the music that, you know, all you kids were listening to?
I wouldn't say they were into it, but they were not upset or anything. But I guess I kind of, our persistence kind of just eventually swayed them to liking it more over the years.
No, I like that. I like that a lot. That's super fun. Another question I like to ask everyone at the beginning is, have you ever seen Good Charlotte live?
I have. I saw them when they were touring for Good Morning Revival.
Mm-hmm. You must have been pretty young.
I was pretty young. I would have been maybe 9 or 10.
Wow.
But, yeah, I was like begging my mum for those tickets. Yeah, I still remember it was really good. But another time, they were here in, I think, 2017. And but they were playing the night after Limp Bizkit. And I had never seen Limp Bizkit and I couldn't really afford to go to both. So I just kind of had to make an executive decision to see one band. But they did show, they were there at the show and they just kind of they popped their heads around during the set.
Oh, so that was cool.
But if I could go back, I would save up money and see them both.
I'm in a quandary kind of like that right now. I've seen both bands, but like Patent Pending has a concert coming up, which tickets wouldn't be expensive, but I would probably have to get a hotel. It's like 2 hours away. And then like 2 days later, Simple Plan and Sum 41 are here in Philadelphia. Oh. And it's like, what do I, it's so hard. Like, I wish I just had all the money, but I'm going on vacation in 2 weeks. So it's like,
that's so tough.
It's so hard. It's
too hard.
It's so hard. Well, Jay, so you are not our first guest who is Australian. Big shout out to Shannon Carlton, who talked about We Believe in 2020. Shannon lives in Toronto. She's awesome. Hi, Shannon, if you're listening. But you are the first guest that currently lives in Australia. And I was really curious. I mean, growing up, you know, you talked about your siblings listening to Good Charlotte, Simple Plan, Avril. But growing up, like, were most of your peers listening to Australian artists? Or, like, how much of the radio was American artists?
Really, most of it.
Really? Okay.
We did have a few, like, pop Australian artists, but for me personally, I just kind of, my whole music taste is pretty much my brother.
Sure. Like, sure.
So that's just like, I really wasn't the biggest fan of the radio growing up. I kind of just had like these punk rock goggles on as a kid and just never wanted to hear nothing else. So I just kind of, whatever my brother would show me, then I would just fall in love with it. And that's pretty much how I got my music taste. To this day, still.
Did he come to that Good Charlotte show with you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's so fun. I took my younger brother and I took him to see this band Pentimento, which you'll see that flag behind me. That's Pentimento.
Oh, man.
I've taken my brother and my dad to see them. No, that's super cool. And I love that you have such a close bond with your brother. It sounds like he was and continues to be just like such a great brother and a great musical influence in a lot of ways.
Great friend, great brother. Yeah, he taught me a lot.
I love that. Shout out to Jay's brother. Jay, I hear that you play the drums. Tell me a little about that. I mean, do you play in a band? How long have you been playing?
I played pretty much since I could maybe like 10 years old. I started playing. My dad is a drummer, so I wanted to be like my dad.
Cool.
And I just really, like, as soon as I started playing, I fell in love with it. And to answer your other question, I'm not in a band, but a few of my friends play guitar and we get together a bit, and my brother plays guitar too, and we live together, so that makes that pretty easy.
Cool. That's super fun. So do you guys, like, get together, you jam, just rock out?
Yeah, get together, go down in the garage, play a few Good Charlotte songs, bit of Linkin Park, Nirvana.
So cool.
You know.
So cool. What are some of your favorite Good Charlotte songs to jam out to when you're doing that?
I try to go, like, I'm trying to learn the whole entire Young and the Hopeless, really.
Nice.
But
I bet this will be a great song to play on drums.
This one, it's tough for me, you know. I'm getting there. Like, I just, it takes me a while to learn each song. But, yeah, this song, I love it. It's such a good song, but it's a bit hard to, like, I need to be a bit fitter because it's a bit of a fast-paced song.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but I think my favorite is My Bloody Valentine.
Ooh, I bet that's a fun,
which is also
one.
Pretty fast, but it's fun. It's very fun for me. Yeah,
that's super cool. Can you play Lifestyles?
Yes, not perfectly, but I do my best.
No, that's great. I mean, I'm sure you know that the Lifestyles, like that drum beat, is almost identical to Iggy Pop, Lust for Life.
Oh, I love Iggy Pop. I never put that together.
You know, that was one of those things that I had heard about like years ago. And then finally, mm-hmm. you know, I think it was like when I was starting this podcast, like I was like, let me like listen to Iggy Pop, Lust for Life. And it sounded so similar. And one day I was in the grocery store and I thought I heard Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous playing in the grocery store. And the vocals came in and it was Iggy Pop, Lust for Life. So
no way.
Yeah, no, you have to take a listen to that because that drum beat in the intro, like it's almost identical to the point that it has to be intentional.
Yeah, maybe a nod. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I have to ask your expert opinion, Jay, as a drummer here, okay. Drummer of what, 13 years? It's incredible. So Good Charlotte's had a few different drummers over the years, mm-hmm. Aaron Escalopio, Chris Wilson, Dean Butterworth, you know, not to mention others who joined them for certain records or on tour. They've all been awesome drummers. Dean, obviously, you know, having stuck around for much longer than some of the others.
Yeah.
But, what are your thoughts on some of GC's various drummers and how they compare to each other?
I think something that I love about Good Charlotte is the fact that the drummers are all so different.
Yeah.
You can just tell through the first album. And then I believe on the second album, it was a studio drummer named Josh.
Josh Freese. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And let me just say, I love the drumming of this album mm-hmm. that we're talking about. And then I believe Chris was on the third one and he toured for the second one.
Yeah.
I've got actually, speaking on that, sorry to go off topic.
No, good.
But I've got the I got Good Charlotte Live at Brixton Academy DVD.
Cool.
And he's on that one. So I believe he must have joined straight after that album. But he didn't last long, and then we had Dean. And Dean's fantastic. I love him.
Dean, so my dad is a drummer as well.
Mm-hmm.
I had my dad on the show back in 2020, which was super fun. But like Dean Butterworth, like before Dean Butterworth joined Good Charlotte, like my dad knew who Dean Butterworth was.
Oh, really?
Well, because he had drummed for Morrissey.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just Good Charlotte. He's done quite a bit.
No. I mean, Dean's got a great resume.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Two more questions before we go into the song. But first off, like, besides some of Good Charlotte's various drummers over the years, any other favorite drummers that you want to shout out?
Honestly, like, my favorite drummer is, like, growing up was always Travis Barker.
Sure.
Yeah. But also, sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say Travis Barker and Good Charlotte, too, but Travis Barker, I feel like he loves hip hop And he is so knowledgeable about other types of music, like so far removed from, you know, the pop punk world, that he really brings that into his playing.
Yeah. I always say he can make the most simple beat sound so, like, be so difficult.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. He's so good at that. Him and honestly, I'm a big Foo Fighters fan, so shout out and rest in peace, Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah, yeah.
And Dave Grohl, of course.
Oh yeah. Well, how could you not mention Dave Grohl, right? You're talking about Nirvana before, so. No, amazing. I mean, all great players you're mentioning. Well, Jay, I have to ask before we dive into the story of My Old Man. I heard that you had a mohawk for a brief period of time, trying to copy a Good Charlotte member. I want to hear a little more about that.
I was maybe 10 years old.
Okay.
And I begged my mom, because this is literally because I have this Brixton Academy DVD.
Right.
And Joel has his red mohawk.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And the sides are really short. They're like probably a number one, like a buzz cut.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said to my mom, I was like, I really want it. And she was trying to talk me out of it. She was like, I don't know if you're going to like it. And then I was just thinking, I'm going to look exactly like Joel, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
That's all I need is a mohawk. So I get it. Even the barber was reluctant to give it to me.
Oh, my God.
And he did, and then it lasted probably 2 hours, and I was like, we drove back, and we had to shave it off.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just glad there's no photos, to be honest.
I feel like that's kind of a typical, like, you know, preteen, even, like, teenage experience of, like, you do something with your hair that you regret. You were lucky that you could just, like, shave off a mohawk, right?
Yeah.
I bleached my hair, like, dyed it a lot. You know, that took a little longer to remedy if I didn't like what I did. But that's my, like, you know, when my dad was younger, he grew out his hair super long and he dyed it a bit. And so when I got to the point that I wanted to do that, my mom was all like, oh, no, I don't know. But my dad was like, you know,
you gotta let it do it.
Gotta do it. Like, I don't know if you're gonna be happy with it, Mom, but just like, I'm not gonna fight you. I did. Like, so, hair is a good way to experiment with your appearance. That's for it. Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Well, Jay, let's get into the story of My Old Man. So we connected on Facebook a while ago, and I'm super happy we're finally talking. Why did you want to talk about the story of My Old Man?
This song to me is, I think it's like sometimes some people don't think about it if you're not really like too much of a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of, in my opinion, when I think of like a classic pop punk song, this is like the outline. You know what I mean? That's just what I'm thinking. It's like it's got the pace of it. But
the
then,
pace, yes, yes.
The pace, it's the pace. It's just like, I love that pace. But it's just one of their examples of their storytelling. They can like paint a picture and it's true. You know, when it's speaking about this subject, mm-hmm. they don't lie.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I love about that. And then it's like the contrast of such a fast-paced song. You could put like a love song lyrics behind it. It would work with the type of music, but then, you know, they're smarter than sometimes than you really think with the way they write their songs.
That's such a great point. And I had noted just like how noteworthy I feel like just the upbeat tempo of this song is, right? And like, this is a serious subject and the intro, the verses are pretty upbeat. You know, you get into the chorus and the bridge and that gets a little slower, but parts of the chorus and the verses almost feel like sing-song-y, like, mm-hmm. da-da, yeah. you know? And I feel like I definitely could see how someone could take that as trying to make it appear lighter than it is when this is like very heavy subject matter. But I almost feel like this is, you know, the twins putting their own, in a way, putting their own commentary to it. Like, you know, this isn't like a societal thing you're talking about, right? Like they, I think they're pretty clearly talking about their father, right?
Yes.
But there's almost a commentary in like, okay, we're talking about something serious, but like, I don't know. I almost feel like it's like taking ownership of it in a way, like, hey, like this is our story. We can tell it. And we can tell it in the way that feels right to us. I don't know.
That's, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
This is literally the story of my old man.
Right.
You know,
right.
this is how he was. And it's like, they're just saying that you don't want to end up like this. This is like, it's almost like a warning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like warning. If you think.
Let's dive into like what this song is about. I mean, I think you're onto something great with warning. Like it's a warning.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to end up like that.
Yeah. I think it's pretty straightforward, right? Like they are telling, yes, you know, the story of sharing some stories of their father growing up and then how he left, right? But something I did note is that, you know, the twins' father was mentioned a lot on the first album, but a lot of it on the first album was kind of like references or how it made them feel, how it affected them. Like complicated, I think, is about the relationship with their father. I believe it's about the relationship with their father, but it, to me, that one feels more, okay, I feel like this is complicated versus this song, I feel like is much more directly like what happened, like a storytelling, like you were saying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like they have done little like subliminal, like this could be about my dad or it might not. And then this one is like, along with Emotionless, is like, this is about my father. This is what happened.
Yeah.
Like, but no more tiptoeing around.
Yeah. Well, Emotionless, I feel like, is much more clearly. This is a great time to bring this up. But, like, Emotionless, I feel like, is very much about how they feel about the situation. I feel like this is more storytelling. But, you know, something I had in my notes is, you know, they talk about, they use words like alone, miserable,
mm-hmm,
that their father's longing for his family and wife. And, you know, I want to take a second to point out that, like, I try to, in general, like, I don't like to get too much into how, you know, who is a song written about, right?
Yeah.
I think this one is like pretty clearly written about the twins' father, but you know, I think just speaking on a general perspective, like someone leaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leaves, you know, you're writing about someone has left you, whether it's a parent, a partner, a friend, whatever. You're writing, oh, they're alone, they're miserable, they're longing for their family. I mean, I'm curious, Shay, like, how much of that do you think is how the writer feels? Like, I'm alone, I'm miserable, I'm longing for this person who left me, versus how much of it do you think is, like, what they think? Like, okay, yeah, I bet he's really lonely now, I bet he's really miserable. Because I kind of go back and forth a bit.
That's really good. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I think, because I've always taken it like the literal side, like,
yeah,
now he's alone and, you know,
yeah,
he's going to be longing for his family.
Do you think there's like an empathy there? Like this obviously being in a difficult place of the pain of someone leaving, but also a whole lot of empathy of like, oh my God, they're so miserable now. Like they're so lonely.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly. That's the thing. I've always thought of it as a little bit like that. I've always thought that is, this is like, I've always kind of put it as he is miserable because, mm-hmm, you know, like I've always thought, well, you know, what the whole timeline of hates his life and, you know, you're alone, you're miserable. And then now you've really got me thinking, maybe they've done a little something. I'm alone because here I am. And also being not miserable but sad is like emotionless, which is about the same, which is what we were just talking about before, which is about the same situation. But that could kind of be like they're like the pre, this is the story of how it happened.
Yeah.
And this is how I feel now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, it, look, it's so fun to me to talk about all of these songs in context with each other, right?
Yes.
Definitely. One line I want to point out about this song, and I want to point this out on a general level. So there's a line, I think this is the first verse, where he says, "I know I got that same disease," which, you know, later in the song, they talk about going to bars and everything. So it is implied that that same disease is alcoholism.
Yes.
You know, and there's a huge genetic component to a lot of mental illnesses, right? Like, I mean, depression, anxiety, eating disorders, personality disorders. I have ADHD, which is like, has a super strong genetic component, but addiction too, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. He says, "I know I got that same disease. I guess I got that from him." I mean, I want to offer, like, I guess rather than posing it as a question, like, I kind of want to just, like, offer empathy to anyone in that position. Like, you, if you have alcoholism, if you struggle with alcoholism and you had a parental figure or a partner who also struggled with alcoholism or addiction, like, you know, the fact that you have that struggle too, it doesn't mean you are like them. I mean, you have that disease that, you know, has a big genetic component, but, like, it doesn't mean you are the same person as them. It doesn't mean you're going to do the same things, but I think it's so tough. And I've never had any troubles with addiction. I've had a few sips of, like, I've tried wine, like, once or twice, you know, like, I don't drink alcohol, I don't smoke or anything, but I have so much sympathy for anyone anywhere who does have troubles with alcohol or any kind of drugs, because it's, you know, the alcohol use or the drug use is only part of the problem, because there's almost always, whether it's like trauma or mental illness, like, there's something else going on, but you have to treat both. Like, you can't just look at one part of the puzzle.
Yeah, you can't just judge based on the cover.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So I looked into the backstory of this song. It was apparently mentioned in the Good Charlotte book that was, like, the story of Good Charlotte, which is so funny in retrospect, because that book was, like, 2003 or something, maybe 2004. And, like, how much has happened since then, right? But I was searching this and I wasn't really finding a lot of interviews that talked about this song. The only thing I could think is, like, if you search Good Charlotte, Story of My Old Man, well, the words story and man, they're very common words. So, like, it just pulled up other interviews where they, use the word story and man. And, like, I searched, I just wasn't seeing much. And Jay, like, you would have been a little young for this. And I was, you know, probably like 12 when I was doing this, but, like, I remember being like 12, 13 and, like, going on the internet and finding all these, like, Good Charlotte fan pages. And, you know, sometimes you would find something that was like someone would link an interview where they talked about writing a specific song But for this, I know that I think this was one of those that was more like fan sites in like the early 2000s. They would like cobble together like bits and pieces of like how Good Charlotte started and the twins' backstory and how it, you know, is represented in various songs. And I kind of feel like that's how the only way I feel like you could have learned about this song and the backstory. But
yeah.
I think even without knowing anything else, without having, I mean, I did not know anything about Good Charlotte or like their lives or anything when I heard this album, when I heard this song, and it gave me a pretty clear picture of what happened.
Yeah.
Jay, do you have any memories or stories that you want to share about the story of My Old Man?
I can really vividly remember this song always being like, for a while when I was growing up, because when I had the CD going in the car and whatever, and I would always skip to like Wondering, and I would want to hear Wondering, this song, Getting in Girls and Boys, and My Bloody Valentine. Just kind of, if I didn't have much time in the car trip.
What a run.
I would want to hear this song.
What a run of songs, like in a range of every emotion.
Yeah. I love those, all those songs, and like the whole album is just such a, it's just a whole album of emotion.
It is. I so have to laugh at you know, because you have Wondering, which, I mean, it's about their dog, but it sounds like a sweet little love song, right?
It does, yeah.
And then you have this song, which is like an upbeat, fast-paced song, but it's like about their dad and a lot of complicated emotions there. And then you have Girls and Boys, which is like a little bit of anger and almost a little bit of like envy, kind of.
Yeah.
And then you have My Bloody Valentine, which I guess honestly also gets into envy and jealousy in a much stronger way. It's like, that revenge, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You might just have thought of a connection between those two songs.
Yeah, yeah. No, there that's the first time I put that together.
Yeah, like, here we go. Like,
both of those songs do talk about envy, right? In very different ways. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. I mean, Girls and Boys are going on a tangent a little bit, but like Girls and Boys, I feel like the primary emotion that comes up for me is resentment. Like there's almost like they're kind of resenting the people that are just like, I don't know, they're rich and they have rich girlfriends or rich boyfriends and they just like wear fancy clothes and drive cars. And like, I think there's part of it is an inherent criticism. Part of it is a bit of resentment. And I saw a video recently. Do you know who Brené Brown is?
No.
I think she's a psychologist, but she talks a lot about like vulnerability and things like that. But anyway, she had a video recently where she talked about how resentment is really related to envy.
Yeah. Okay.
Like if you resent someone who is really rich and can retire at 35, you're not angry at them. You're jealous that you can't retire at 35 because you have to keep working to pay your bills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, something I like to touch on is like what Good Charlotte songs a track relates to, which, I mean, there's so many songs Good Charlotte have written about the twins' father, but the one that actually came up to me the most was the Madden Brothers. Jade, how familiar are you with the Greetings from California album?
A little bit, I will say. I'm not super familiar, but I am, like, a little bit.
I talked about it. I think the episode that we recorded before this one was for Thank You, Mom.
Okay.
And in recording that, I talked about how I bought Greetings from California and I listened to it like once and then I was like once or twice and then I was like just kind of angry that it's like just wanted to hear Good Charlotte and I was angry that Good Charlotte was broken up but I would listen to the song Empty Spirits over and over. But there's a song on that album called Brother that seems particularly placed to be a follow-up to Story of My Old Man, where they're talking about how their father is, you know, lonely and miserable. And I'll mm-hmm. just read a few lines from this song, Brother. He said, son, you're nothing like me, and I'm so glad that you're here. Then he cried and said, I'm sorry, and I've missed you all these years.
That's a lot, that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it wow. Also, I want to point out specifically, son, you're nothing like me. You know, verses in this song, they say, yeah. I know you, I got that same music, I guess I got that from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, then I think they've done that, like, for the, like, real fans to, like, kind of put that together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and I think, you know, they have shown a lot of growth in their songwriting, right? And just, but you can see, definitely. I think, growth as just, like, individuals as well. And that they are able to, like, approach things in different ways and come to different resolutions and over time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think it's very
cool. I think they have since gotten to know their father as well.
Yeah, they did. I think that's what Brother kind of touches on.
Yeah.
Without, you know, knowing anything about how that song was written, I believe that's what the song Brother is about. I don't really have confirmation of that, but that's my understanding of that song.
Okay.
Well, I want to get into some reviews of this song, sure. which are like, I don't know. I felt like they were kind of all over the place, which is like kind of typical of Good Charlotte. So we're going to start off with Pop Matters, which I love this Pop Matters review from Adrian Vagrand. We have referenced Adrian has reviewed a couple of Good Charlotte albums, and we have referenced his reviews several times on this podcast. Because they're kind of mean, and they're not like inaccurate. They're, I think, written by someone who I don't think was the target audience for Good Charlotte. You see, yeah, you're nodding. You're like, yeah, yeah. anyway, Adrian said, the story of My Old Man is the one song that sounds the most punk, as Joel addresses the whole missing father subject, but with much better results.
Oh my goodness. I love the way you read that too.
Thank you. Thank you. I try to give it a dramatic reading effect.
But it's like you said, I don't think that he's a target audience.
No.
But everyone's entitled to their opinion, but, you know, it's just wrong.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, I feel like that sentence anyway points to someone who is like thinking a little too hard about Good Charlotte. Like,
yeah.
And maybe I'm a hypocrite because I literally have a podcast about Good Charlotte, but like there's thinking so much about Good Charlotte without taking the time to just like be like, do I like this? Is there anyone that would like this? They're just like having such a serious approach.
Yeah.
No. Next review is from Punk News, which the reviewer gave it 2 out of 5, but users rated it 3.5 out of 5. Not super surprising because Good Charlotte's always been more for the fans than the critics.
Cool.
And they said, that is just a taste of what the lyrics are like on the CD. They are full of teenage angst and about Benji and Joel's dad, like the story of My Old Man. NME actually had kind of an interesting review. They basically took the whole album as satire, like satire about, you know, sort of this angsty pop punk skateboard from the early 2000s. They took The Young and the Hopeless as like satire of all of that, which, like, honestly, and I'll read this in a second, but on the one hand, I'm like, I think a lot of this is actually very genuine. There's definitely like some satire, but a lot of it is very genuine. And but if it were, if the whole thing were satire, it would be genius. It would take away the, you know, serious and heartfelt aspect that so many people value, but that would be genius satire.
Yeah, it would have been.
So I'll read this. It like a decent Chinese takeaway, the whole infectious energy of the newfound blinking for soup 41 skate genre feels great, but leaves you strangely empty shortly afterwards. That's a fantastic sentence, by the way.
Yeah, I like the name of that band.
Yeah. Unless that is, The Young and the Hopeless becomes a set text in the Academy of Dweeb Punk's Scatological Hilarity Department. This is the sudden extra fold of punk pop's cerebral cortex, the evolutionary leap into an unexpected maturity. No, come back, boobies, fans. You don't have to think if it hurts. Good Charlotte ground their excellent snotty punk in the folklore of the troubled teen so as not to scare the MTV horses. There are songs about how girls are brilliant, Riot Girl, and how girls are horrid and smell, the superb Buggles pastiche, Girls and Boys. There's slick riff elegies on The Pain, The Day That I Die, The Broken Home, The Story of My Old Man, and The Losers United by the Rock Anthem. Acne smattered guitar. Oh, that is brutal. Brutal. Acne smattered guitars barrel tunefully around like Green Day never grew hair in their ears. So far, so themed to the real world.
Well.
Acne smattered guitars is so brutal. But at the same time, I love that. Yeah, like I know exactly what they mean by that.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I love that expression. It's kind of like, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Right now.
I mean, you think acne, you think like teenagers who probably don't feel good about themselves because they have a lot of acne, you know, yeah. Teenagers who are struggling, like, and you think guitars that they would like, Good Charlotte, if they read this review, they would probably be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, we were, yeah.
Sputnik Music gave the album 3.5 out of 5 and gave this song 4 out of 5. Even though this is fast-paced and a tiny bit rushed, this song is really sad if you actually listen to the lyrics. Joel sings about his and Benji's dad and remembering baseball games and I love yous and you will go fars, and then their dad runs off, leaving Joel, Benji, and their unwealthy mother behind. Plugged In, which is a website by Focus on the Family, they had a review of this album where they mentioned this song under pro-social content. So listeners and to JTU as well, Plugged In would do these reviews basically determining like if a piece of media is fit for, you know, your good Christian child in a conservative home, right?
All right.
And so pro-social content is like stuff that they approve of, right? And objectionable content is stuff they don't approve of. And you know, a common theme is that with the Good Charlotte reviews like this is that anything about God, because Good Charlotte talks a lot about God, pro-social content, yeah. Like, that's good, right? Anything about hope, that's good. Anything about like not wanting a 9-to-5 or, you know, my high school, they didn't like high school, whatever. That was objectionable.
Okay.
But about this song, it said that he cautions listeners to avoid self-destructive behavior.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah. A couple, like, retrospectives we're going to touch on. Punktastic did a 15-year retrospective of this album, so I guess in 2017. They said, We listened to The Story of My Old Man when we felt angry at our parents. An album that encapsulates the journey we traveled growing up and learned to accept ourselves, The Young and the Hopeless changed our lives.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Return of Rock had a list of Good Charlotte's top 20 songs, and they ranked this one number 8. Best song Good Charlotte has ever written. An awesome beat, as well as great vocals. Excellent song. I've been listening to this band before they became popular, and the older songs are much better.
Okay.
Yeah. Stepbystep.com, which I think is literally just like kind of step-by-step guides and to-dos and how-tos and like knowledge guides. They had an article about this album going song by song. The fifth song is The Story of My Old Man. This song is about how Benji and Joel's dad abandoned their family and left them with literally nothing. It is, in a way, getting revenge on their dad by writing a song about how their dad left them and left them with nothing. Awesome song with a good tempo and easy to dance to.
Yeah. That's a good review.
It's a good review, yeah. So let's read some comments from YouTube, and then we'll touch on songmeanings.com.
Okay.
It's Sty. 6 years ago, this person wrote, "Not sure what I've been doing, only listening to rap and hip hop for the past 2 years. All of these songs are completely relatable and would have been a great guide in life if I found them earlier. Just gained a whole new appreciation for this genre." Oh, I love that.
That's nice.
Michelle Blue said, "I sang this song once for a talent show and I won. I even made some of the teachers cry with it. I love GC even more after all these years."
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Hey, congrats, Michelle. Stellarness said, "This song reminds me of my mom, actually. Many hours listening to this as a pissed off kid in foster care." Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
A lot of reviews and comments like that, right? Mentioning, you know, their own family background. Maisie Spencer said, by the way, this was from Maisie Spencer. This comment was 11 years ago, so like 2010. "Loving the old style of music, but has gone downhill with the newer stuff. In my opinion, it's becoming too poppy. Love the band, though. Absolutely amazing." So I guess, I mean, that would have been probably around when Cardiology came out, so.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that was an interesting time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the best way to say it. It's interesting.
Yeah. I want to read some comments from songmeanings.com, and I'm going to try to, I have a whole bunch listed here, but I almost want to make commentary on the comments.
Yeah.
And a lot, we'll read some, and a lot of people talked about, you know, their own family background, right? If their father left, if their mother left. There was also like a whole big fight over whether Good Charlotte were goths or not, or whether they were punk and like whether it mattered. And like, I read the whole thing and it was a ride, but we'll touch on some of that. Okay. Flat Mutt Obster said, "GC rocks. I'm glad they write songs that are about things people can relate to, and it's not all just about lost love and whatnot."
That's nice.
Yeah. Oof, this username. XX angry at my father, XX.
Okay. I think I know where this is going.
Right. "This song is brilliant. I also have a father who picked up and walked out of my family, so I can relate. It feels good to know that they can understand what I'm feeling, and I vent my anger towards him in their songs. GC rocks."
Okay, that's good. That's nice.
I think that's so huge, because not that Good Charlotte are the only band to talk about, you know, a parent that's left, but, you know, it's never been like a super popular topic to talk about in songs, right? No. Like, but unfortunately it's something that a lot of people relate to or have experienced. And
yeah,
I can imagine, like, I can't even imagine what a relief it would be, like, if you go through that experience, to find a band that sings about it in so many ways and with so many emotions.
Yeah, it would feel, I think it would be really comforting to know that there's a band that, or like someone that, especially if you knew them before and you loved them, then you find out that, oh, they've been through a similar situation, or,
yeah,
you know, someone can relate.
LL Cool V said, "I heard it's a good song, but I won't bother trying to listen to it because I don't like gothics." Maid Chick said, "Haha, GC equals not goths. LMFAO. Anyways, this is a great song. My fave part is Monday, he woke up and hated life, drank until Wednesday and left his wife. Thursday through Saturday, lost everything, woke up on Sunday miserable again. And I like the end to this song, always gets to me. Teenage, but I had to read that because of the, you know, GC equals not gothics.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I like that she put the whole like first, she put the whole verse in there.
I know.
Yes, I like that. And she's right about that outro. It gets me every time too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you. I'm on your side.
Yeah.
If you're watching.
Yeah. Teenage Trash said, so personal that they actually doubted if they were going to put it on the album.
Oh, right.
I hadn't heard that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it's super personal.
It is very personal, yeah.
Sassafras Roots. This is harsh, but I mentioned this, which I'm going to follow this up with a comment that I personally agree with a little more. Sassafras Roots said, this song is fucking shit. It's my least favorite by them. Get the fuck over your dad already.
That's not nice.
That's like, I mean, that's the kind of, I just like, I read a lot of reviews that like talked about how much they whined about missing their dad too much kind of thing. I just like, I don't know. I had my dad on this podcast, right? Like I talked to my dad, mm-hmm. I text him every day. We talk on the phone a couple times a week. I see him very often. I saw him last weekend. But man, to tell someone to get over something like that. I mean, you know, you can heal, right? You can, maybe you go to therapy. Maybe that's what works for you. Maybe it's a matter of time. Maybe it's introspection and writing. Maybe you do reconcile. Maybe you don't. But like, that's, I feel like something like your dad leaving, I feel like that's not something you can like necessarily just get over. Like,
that's something, oh. Yeah.
That's rough.
That's a bit of a heartless comment, sorry.
Yeah.
That is no empathy there or anything, so.
Yeah. Been to Hell and Back. I'm not going to read their whole story because I think that's kind of besides the point, but.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks that GC should have gotten over their dad by now sucks. My dad left me and my mom when I was 3. I'm almost 16. Yeah. That's
tough one. It's like, you, even though like we haven't been through that situation ourselves, it's, you might know someone who has, or sometimes it's, obviously we can't imagine exactly what it feels like, but you can kind of have a picture, like, you know, what if one of my parents just wasn't here? So that's why it's not something you can just get over, and music is just a way to vent how you feel. So
exactly.
That's what they're doing.
Exactly. I want to read a couple Amazon user reviews.
Okay.
Greg gave the album 4 out of 5 and said a lot of improvement from the debut. Rather than coming off as an angry diatribe, it paints a fuller picture, remembering that even through his problems, dad had encouraged them and they even muster some sympathy.
Okay.
Yeah. Helen Scott gave the album 5 out of 5, said good second album, but she gave this song 3 out of 5. A bit on the annoying side, but the lyrics aren't. And that was something like there's another review here I have that also says gets on my nerves. Like there was like a couple of reviews that like pointed that out. And I'm just like, what about this song gets on your nerves?
Yeah, like, what is it? I don't really understand. Like, I like, what did that comment say? Sorry, it said, I like the style, but the lyrics get on my nerves?
Gets on my nerve from the less great background vocals. The other said, okay. A bit on the annoying side, but the lyrics aren't.
That one, yeah, those ones, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, that's, everyone's a bit different.
Yeah. Caitlin gave the album 3 out of 5, and her review headline was, there's a reason they're not called Outstanding Charlotte. Yeah, Caitlin, because the book is called Good Charlotte.
Oh, Caitlin.
And says repeated subject matter carries over from their self-titled CD, Story of My Old Man and Emotionless, both showcasing the Madden twins' improved and mature writing style, and the latter, Emotionless, gathering an emo title as much as anything found on a Dashboard confessional album. Katie gave it 5 out of 5, gave this song 4 out of 5, and said, good song, not great, but good. One of the weaker songs on the CD. Which I'm just like, why are you writing about it at that point? Like, yeah. Dill Jones gave it 2 out of 5 and said that in September of this year, he bought the album. Big mistake. The rest of the album was very ordinary, with only Story of My Old Man making much of an impression on me, as it sounded like some of Blink-182's decent songs, which are also few and far between. The rest just didn't have the punkness I was expecting, which I got out of bands like NoFX and the album's singles.
Oh, wow.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dill.
Yeah. Sorry that not every song sounded like this one song.
Right. Well, Jay, this has been so awesome. How has the Story of My Old Man held up for you over time?
This song's really held up. Like I said in the when we first started talking, it was just one of those classic, in my opinion, one of the all-time classic pop punk songs.
Mm-hmm.
But also, as a really big fan of Good Charlotte, just like one of those songs where you just know it's from the heart and it's real. It's just, there's not much personally that I can knock about this song. Yeah. So.
No, I think this song is great. And I think just over the years, and especially getting ready to record this episode, like, I've so come to appreciate, number one, like the juxtaposition. That's the word I've been looking for the past hour. Oh, the juxtaposition of this like upbeat song with a really serious subject. So that, as well as the amount of empathy that they show on this song. I think they show a lot of empathy on this song. And yeah. I think that can be so hard. Like, showing empathy, showing grace to someone that's hurt you takes like a lot of strength. And
yeah,
I think it's great. Yeah. What has Good Charlotte meant to you over the years, and how has that changed?
Honestly, I don't know if it's really changed, but they've just really been my number one band, like, for my entire life.
Yeah.
To this day. I don't know what it is, like, things, like, other bands have come and gone. Like, I've been a bit, listened to them a bit less and listened to a bit more. But Good Charlotte has just been that one constant my entire life.
So great. Jay, as we wrap up, do you have any last words about The Story of My Old Man, about Good Charlotte, or about yourself?
Honestly, this song is just one of the many examples that they have of their storytelling ability.
Yeah.
That I'll just, like, there's so many, sometimes you listen to another song like Ghost of You, or just like so many of their songs that you just, like, if you just close your eyes, you can just kind of picture, it's just like a movie playing in your head with this song. It's just like, I can always remember being young, listening to this song and just kind of imagining, like, the, like, when I go through the week, like Monday to everything, you kind of just, like, imagine everything as it's happening.
Yeah. It gives you a really good timeline.
Yeah, it's like a movie. They're kind of like, they're, some of their songs is almost like you're watching a movie.
No, that's such a great point. Jay, this has been so awesome. As we wrap up, so I have a Generation GC and Friends Spotify playlist. So I'm going to add The Story of My Old Man. And then I would love for you to just share anything you've been listening to lately. Anything at all that's not Good Charlotte.
Okay. Not a problem. I've got a really good song, actually. There is there's an Australian band called Ocean Grove.
Okay.
And the song is Sunny.
Sunny. Okay.
Yep. Great cool. song.
I will check it out. What how would you describe their music?
They started off like metal.
Ooh, okay.
But recently they've grown like a bit nu metal, a bit like grungy, a bit like Britpop.
Cool.
So a bit like alternative, like if, I don't know if you know like Silverchair.
Yeah.
Love it. A bit like so they've gone like they really
This is a band that Billy Martin would probably like because we all know Billy Martin loves Silverchair.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So cool.
I've heard interviews where he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
I think he would like them.
Very cool. Jay, this has been super fun. As we wrap up, did you want to share like your social media? So if people want to like follow you or keep up with you?
Sure. Just Jay Churchill 1 on Instagram.
Perfect.
And that's it. Come give me a follow if you want to. Thanks for having me, Molly.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Jay. This has been so much fun. Listeners, thank you for tuning in to episode 92 of Generation GC. Wow, 92. That means if you listen to one episode a day, that would take you like 3 months to listen to every episode. Last time we talked about Thank You Mom from Good Charlotte, and on our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from The Chronicles of Life and Death. My name is Molly Huddleston, once again, and as always, I have been your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. Make sure to follow Generation GC at Generation GC Pod, P-O-D, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also follow me, Molly, at M Huddleston, M-H-U-D-E-L-S-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for tuning in. Please make sure to follow, subscribe, rate the show wherever you listen, but most importantly, tell a friend. Let's make the Generation GC fam bigger and better.